Item seven and eight in your packet are for two applications for Orchard Grove. One is for Cadena, and the other one is for Arsenal. Since both of these overlap each other, we've combined the recommendation and evaluation and like to present them as one. Christopher Cadena and his brother Phil Ryan of Cadena request authorization to lease approximately 40 acres of oyster planting ground in Upshur's Bay, and this is in Accomack County. The application is protested by Ann Arsenal. Mrs. Arsenal also is requesting authorization to lease approximately 120 acres of oyster ground in Upshur's Bay. The application includes the Cadena's 40-acre application. Just an overview, middle of the Eastern Shore, US 13, Exmoor, Quinby, Upshur's Bay is here, Fairmore, Hog Island. A little closer view, showing Quinby Harbor, which is 2 miles north of the area of the applications. And this is Middle Gap Marsh, and that's about a half mile south of it. The area in the southern portion of the two applications is more of a mix of sand and mud, but it's firmer than the other area to the north. This area is not as firm. The average depth is about a foot and a half to 2 feet on the flat, and it goes up to over 10 feet near Middle Gap Channel. Cadenas have three oyster grant applications in Upshur's Bay and Sandy Island Bay for a total of about 15 acres, and they also have another application that has been surveyed and is waiting assignment for 14 acres. Cadenas' application waiting assignment is here. Their application for 40 acres that we're talking about today is right here in the darker green, and they also have two applications here and another one in Sandy Island Bay down in this general area there. Ms. Arsenal has 12 leases for a total of over 108 acres, of which 110 acres is in Upshur's Bay, adjacent to or near the area that she has applied for. The Arsenal leases here and one here. She also has leases in this general area here and quite a few more around. So the issue here is Ms. Arsenal's husband, Tom Gallivant, came by the Belhaven field office on April 18th of last year. Our surveyor, Paul Rogers, helped Mr. Gallivant fill out the application for oyster planting ground for approximately 120 acres, which is what you see here in blue. Mr. Gallivant left with the application to have his wife, Ms. Arsenal, sign the application as the applicant. The next day, on April 9th, Mr. Cadena, Phil Ryan Cadena, contacted Mr. Rogers about an area in Upshur's Bay. He was interested in leasing. Mr. Rogers informed Mr. Cadena that Mr. Gallivant had filled out an application for the same area the day before. Mr. Rogers helped Mr. Cadena fill out the application for approximately 40 acres. That 40 acres is, again, part of the 120 acres. This area right here. Mr. Cadena left with the application and to have his brother sign the application as a co-applicant. Cadena's application for 40 acres was received by mail at BMRC's main office in Newport News on April 10th of last year. Mrs. Arsenal's application for 120 acres was received by mail at the BMRC office on April 16th, 6 days later. The issue here is Mrs. Arsenal and Mr. Gallivant believe that their application should be considered as being submitted first, since Mr. Rogers helped fill out their application at the Belhaven field office, initialed and dated the top of the application on April 8th, the day before Mr. Cadena contacted Mr. Rogers. They also believe that Mr. Cadena or the Cadenas have had an advantage, since he was aware that their application that he was aware of their application and they were not aware of his. Since then, we have changed our process a little bit. We've always taken applications at our field office for probably 5 to 7, 10 years. We had not made this something that we told the public when they came in. But if they requested, we would take their application. Since then, because of this situation, we have first thing out of our minds when somebody comes in is we will take an application here at this office when it's a completed application, which means signatures and permit fees and so forth, or application fees. So there is no protest on this. There may be a protest coming in later. We don't know because it has not been surveyed, so there's another protest period depending on what the commission comes up with today. And that could be from crabbers that work this area also. So you may be seeing this again. We just don't know. There's no SAV in the area. So our summary, in accordance with 28.2605 of the code, all applications for assignment of general planting grounds shall be made in writing to the commission. Applications shall be considered in the same order in which they are received. The surveying and engineering department routinely helps applicants fill out their forestry planting grant applications. It's not unusual for applicants to take the incomplete application with them for a variety of reasons, including grant inspection, obtaining signatures, obtaining application fees. It's also not unusual for an application to be submitted weeks, months, or not at all after their initial contact with the applicant. An application is not considered complete until BMRC has received the completed signed application with a $25 application fee. Once we receive an application, as stated in 28.2605, applications are considered in the same order in which they are received. Although we are sympathetic towards Ms. Arsenault's situation, her application was not completed when her husband left the Belhaven office on April 8th. And for that matter, neither was the Cadenas' application. Therefore, based on 28.2605 of the code, which states that the application shall be considered in the same order in which they are received, staff recommends approval of the Cadenas' 40-acre application. Staff also recommends approval of the remaining approximately 80 acres to Mrs. Arsenault. So what we're recommending is the Cadenas' 40 acres and the remaining portion, approximately 80 acres, for the Arsenault. I'm here to answer any questions. Ms. Arsenault sent an email today and one yesterday, and it's added to your packet in the back. And I believe both applicants are here. I'll be happy to answer any other questions.
I assume there's questions from the commission.
I suspect so.
Mr. Tackert.
Yes, Mr. Bradshaw, you mentioned that Mr. Galvin left with the application, but Mrs. Arsenault was to be the applicant. But then later on you mentioned they were the applicant. Tell me who really is the applicant here.
Ann Arsenault
is the applicant.
She's the one who actually applied. Her husband, Tom Gallivant, came to the office and got the information from us and then left with the application filled out, but no signatures and no application fee was submitted at that time.
Okay.
I think if in hindsight, which is always 2020, and that's one reason that we've changed our process on the shore now, the first thing we do when someone comes in, we fill out an application, is we tell them, I know you need to leave. If you do have to leave, you're welcome to come back and submit your application here, and we'll fax it or scan it over to the main office immediately so that your position is held. Prior to this, we had not had that procedure in place.
Other questions from the commission? Just an observation. From my point, this is unfortunate.
Yes. I think this is where the only thing I could possibly have done differently outside of what we just talked about, our procedure, was once Mr. Cadenas came by, we could have called Tom Gallivant and Ann Arsenault up and said, hey, well, Cadenas have been in here. They've applied for an area that you've applied for. But where if you get into a situation where are you giving one side more information, or are we better just staying out of that and just see how it goes down?
Well,
and I don't know the answer to that.
And I don't either. And staff's culture is to be helpful.
Yes.
And I agree with that. So any other questions, Mr. Batcher, from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Batcher. Mr. Cadena, please come forward, sir. I need to swear you in. Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God?
Yes, sir.
Please state your case for the commission on why you think you should get this grant.
For one, if it was based on when someone got the application at the VMRC, then that someone could sit on an application and hold that application for as long as they want and then just say, hey, I've had this application since 10 years ago, so I should be allowed to have it. I mean, I know that's not how the situation really is here, but that's just what could be done if it was just based on when you grabbed the application from the VMRC office. And also, when you get an application, you sign acknowledging, and this is what it says, application must include non-refundable $25 fee. I agree, we agree, promptly pay the newspaper for the required advertising. All applicants are equally responsible to pay all the time, fees, surveying, mapping, signing, recording as specific in the Code of Virginia Title 28.2. All applicants agree to comply with the legal requirements pursuant to Oyster Ground leasing, including residency. I understand that this application will be given priority based upon the order that is received by the Virginia Marine Resources Commission and Engineering / Surveying Department, and then you sign underneath that. So you are signing saying you acknowledge that you understand if an application is received before yours, then you do not have priority.
So that's your argument on why you should get this grant. Do you have anything else to add to that?
Oh, just my application was received first, sir.
Questions from the commission? I have a question, Mr. Cadena.
Yes, sir.
How did you find out this ground was available and unleased?
I've been looking at that ground since about 2011. I actually put a little bit of seed plan up there to see how it would do. And then I just happened that day, I was like, let me go in here, because I got on the VMRC website. It was the first time I'd been on y'all's website. And I'd seen all these people putting in applications. I was like, well, I need to get over there and put an application in before it's too late. So I got over there. I had two pieces of ground. And the first one he said was fine. And the second one, the agent, Paul Rogers, said, actually, right now, Gallivan has put an application in, has asked for an application for that piece of ground, 120 acres. I was like, oh, I only wanted this 40 acres here. He's like, well, it's not based on when someone gets the application here. It's based on when the applications are received in Newport News. So if you want to proceed with this application, you take the risk of it not being received first. Whoever gets theirs in first will get priority.
Backing up.
Yes, sir.
You're saying that it was just coincidence that you happened to be looking and thinking about, and you were looking at this ground for almost five years?
That. The reason why they went to look for that ground is because they had seen me up on that ground several times before, because I had seen her husband see me when he drove the boat by.
So you're saying it's not quite a coincidence
that you
both applied for the same ground?
No, it's just a coincidence that he ended up going in there. I didn't know he was going to go in there. I didn't know he had gone in there. I had no previous knowledge until I walked in that office and the agent, Paul Rogers, told me.
Okay, another question. You own some other leased ground.
Yes, sir.
How long have you leased that other ground? The own isn't the correct word.
Altogether, I started leasing ground, I guess it was like 2011, 2012, sir. I have, at the time right now, I have a total of, with the including of the 14 plus acres that should be, I'm waiting for the paperwork to come in. That'll give me close to 30, and with this additional, will give me right under 70 acres. Ann Galvin and her husband currently right now hold at least 260 acres that they hold. Between her and her husband right now, they have applied 419 acres, including the 120 right here. I'm just asking for a little bit. I feel like I'm being very reasonable. I'm not trying to take any more than I need.
Speaking of what you need, because that's another follow-up question that I have here. Give me one more minute, Mr. Tankard here. The ground that you lease, the other leases,
yes, sir.
Do you use them?
Yes, sir.
Do you harvest off of them?
Yes, sir.
Do you harvest clams or oysters?
Clams, sir.
Do you file your harvest reports?
Yes, sir.
It's verifiable that you use those.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Tankard.
So my question to you is, so once you realized that Mr. Gallivan had picked up an application, did that change the way you acted from that point?
No. I did the same thing I always do. Just went and got my brother signed and sent it out as soon as I got it.
Uh-huh.
Me and my brother hold all of our ground together.
Uh-huh. So that didn't have any bearing on how quickly you...
No, because my other application was received at the same time as this application was. So I would have put them both in the same time no matter what.
Okay.
Other questions from the commission?
And I also let it known that I had gotten an application. I was adamant that I let people know that I'd got it, so it would get around to know that I didn't try to... I got the application, I sent it out just while I was told that it would be based... If I got it there before, I'd get priority because it's based on when they're received from what I was told and from what everything I've read in y'all's codes and the application.
Any other questions from the commission? I have a question.
Yes,
one last one. Do you have anybody else that you wish to testify on your behalf?
No, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Cadena. Is there anybody else in the audience who wishes to testify in favor of this application? Is there anybody who wishes to testify in opposition to this application? Please come forward. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
Please state your name for the record.
Ann Arsenault.
Thank you.
I am protesting this application, and I like it noted that no one's protesting the 120 acres that I have applied for. Protesting it because I do believe that I was, according to code, first in applying for this, not second. A few things were stated. I like to state that I have not had seed. I do not grow on lease bottom that I have not leased, on state bottom that I have not leased. I had no idea that Mr. Cadena had taken up the lease. He did not let me know that he took up the lease at any time. Mr. Badger and Mr. Rogers did call me up and let me know a month later that he did apply for this, for the 40 acres out, which is one-third of what I'm applying for. The VMRC staff asked if they're that they were both calling Mr. Candina and myself to see if there's anything that could be mediated in the meantime. Coming to stand before you, I felt it was my obligation to at least talk to Mr. Candina. He did not mention anything about his application to me at all for this whole year and a half or year plus. I asked him yesterday if there's anything that we can work out so that we didn't have to be in front of the commission today. He asked me what my thoughts were for the 40 acres there. I said I was already planning to put it in production. We had immediate, short-term, long-term use of that entire area. I asked him what his intentions were, and he said it was speculation, he didn't really have any intentions of using the ground, whether immediate or long-term. His brother's currently not growing or hasn't grown any clams, and he didn't know if his brother might start growing clams, that if his brother started growing clams, then he might put 10 or 20 nets there, but he wasn't. Again, he was just taking up the ground speculation. Again, he said that my husband saw him out on the ground, and that's where we might have gotten the idea, but I'd just like to clarify that we have 103 acres adjacent to this lease. We've had it since 2010. We grow there millions of clams currently. We grow thousands of oysters there. The lease that we took up is, again, it's just a natural progression for our production to be right there and use the ground. It's really critical that for the way that, thankfully, our business is growing and our shellfish business is growing, that we need that 120 acres. We not only grow clams, but we also grow oysters. We're in good standing with VMRC and our reporting. And so you can see that we started taking up ground in 2004. Our reporting has only showed a positive progression. We haven't asked for any acreage that was unreasonable with our business plan. There's acreage around us. We took up a reasonable amount that we thought that we would use. You can see that there's other leases taken up around us. that it's critical for our business to use it. Not really sure what happened in the process, but I feel that there was inconsistency with VMRC, with their policies and procedures, and I got caught in that policy and procedures with the inconsistencies. I realize that you guys have already changed the policies, but I'm asking that you consider not going with the staff recommendations, but as a commission, please respectfully consider leasing us the 40 acres, which is included in our one fund. I feel that according to the code that we all know, we all read, it doesn't say anywhere in that code or on the application that it has to arrive at Newport News. I was under the impression that when Mr. Rogers signed and dated my lease application, my husband made the attempt to write the check right there and then. They just told us that we had to send it in. I signed it right away. It got put in the mail. Obviously, I put it in the wrong post office, but it took a day later than wherever Mr. Cadena mailed his application. I was then told a month later, not the day that Mr. Cadena came in, but a month later, that there was another application and there was issues with it. If I was called that day to say that there was an issue, I would have driven to Newport News with a check in my hand or FedExed it over to be here, because it's critical for, again, where we're growing and what we're doing.
Just an observation that the application didn't arrive. You picked the wrong post office for sure, because it took 7 days.
I mailed it south, in the south of the county, thinking that it might be closer when we were down there, so we mailed it. My check is dated for the date, and it was processed by VMRC. It cleared my bank on the 17th, so I had no knowledge that there was any issues with that application at all until I was called by VMRC staff. Again, I think because of your policies and procedures have changed, I just would like to see the changes happen with my application. I think that's only reasonable. I don't feel like I should be the victim or discriminated against because my application, because of the technicalities that were pointed out to you. And there's numerous ones. It wasn't just one technicality. There's a few inconsistencies with policy and procedures, and I think it was just the perfect storm of that. Any questions?
Other questions from the commission? I'll reiterate my standpoint, which is this is all very unfortunate. Mr. Tankard, you look like you have a question.
So let me ask you this. So you've, Ms. Arsenault, you believe that when Mr. Galvin came to the commission's office there in Belhaven, and that Mr. Rogers then initialed and what was the other thing he did?
He initials and he puts the date.
Put a date on there. And that those two things put you in 28.6.
Yes. There's
nowhere. Put you in line. That's what you believed at the time.
There's nowhere in the code or on that lease application saying that it has to get to Newport News. And to the code 605, it doesn't say anywhere. I would believe that I was at a VMRC. I was at our VMRC office that we prefer to use because that's why it's set up there to be a local office, not to run to Newport News all the time to have when there's, you know, day-to-day stuff. I believe it, and I did not hear otherwise. And my check cleared a week later. So I was under the impression that everything was good. No one called or notified me anything different. Code 608 does not say that the payment has to be with the application. So my understanding is my application was in, and then I sent in the payment.
Follow-up question.
Yes, Tackett.
You mentioned that you had other acres that you leased beforehand. Is this the same thing you'd done on other occasions? Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we offered to give payment right then and there.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions from the commission? Thank you. Do you have anybody else you wish to testify?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let me close the loop out there in the public. Is there anybody else in the audience who has not testified who wishes to testify on these two matters? Mr. Cadena, it's got to be really on point, and it's got to be really short.
Yes, sir.
All right, come forward, come forward.
If she believes that her application should have counted when it was gotten, but she wasn't there to even sign it when it was picked up from the VMRC. Her husband was the one who got it. Shouldn't the person who's getting the application be there to get the application and sign it?
All right, thank you, Mr. Cadena. Please come forward. It's all on audio tape.
I would just add that he did the same thing that we did because his brother was not present and he had to go get his brother's signature. So that case
okay. All right. No more back and forth. Enough. All right. Public hearing is closed. The matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Mrs. Kellum.
Question for staff. Can you go over the policy change that has now been made one more time?
Right. What we've done is we've been accepting applications at the office if someone requested it, but we did not make it known right up front that we would accept it there. And most people up until then have been just mailing it in, and it's worked fine for years. And then occasionally, with as hot as the oyster industry is right now, we're going to start having problems like this. So after this happened, we made a policy change that basically says that we let everybody know in advance that they can submit their application at any of the field offices along with the main office here in Newport News.
Other questions? Mr. Zedrin.
I got a comment. Virginia in general is a time and right state, and the same thing with deeds. If you if two people had the same deed, same piece of property, it's whoever records it first in the circuit court who has claim to that. This is no different. This statute here, it talks about in 28.2605, talks about applications shall be considered in the same order in which they are received. I know the staff is very helpful to everybody, but probably in the future, staff should refrain from giving any advice about applications or who they go to, or because once you start telling somebody was so-and-so, you know, Dr. Neal here got an application for that, so you kind of, you know, implying here, if you want to get this thing, you better get hopping, because as has been stated several times, people pick up applications and never submit them. And so to follow that, there's no doubt as to the facts here. As the commissioner said, it's quite unfortunate, you know, and it is, but the law is the law and the facts are the facts. We don't create either one of those. We just try to enforce what we know. But 605 says the application should be considered in the same order as they are received. There's no doubt that the gentleman's application was received prior to. 608 says that the fee for recording each assignment shall be $1.50. No ground shall be assigned until the prescribed fees have been paid. And that means the check is in VMRC. And there's no dispute as to the facts there that the check from the gentleman was received. So he's met the code requirements. He received first. He's paid his fees. It's unfortunate because that's a nice piece of property for Ms. Arsenault there. But the fact is the law says here's what the deal is, regardless of what the VMRC does, and it was complied with. So I think, you know, at least my perspective is the gentleman's application comes first.
Let me ask for a lawyerly discussion, since most of us up here aren't lawyers. Mr. Hull, mm-hmm. Do you have a thought?
I echo what Mr. Zedrin said, that, you know, the code is pretty clear that the applications are considered in the order in which they're received, and there's really not much of a question that the gentleman's application was received first. There's really no wiggle room on that. So, you know, I think we have to proceed with Mr. Cadena, or Cadena, however you pronounce it there, to proceed with his application for the 40 acres. And, you know, obviously if his application is denied later sometime down the road, then the application that came in second for that area can be considered. And if not, then only the application for the remaining, I guess, 80 or so acres from Ms. Arsenault could be considered.
Mrs. Cohn.
I understand the code section. However, we did hear testimony that Mr. Candina did not have plans to use this ground immediately, short-term or long-term, and that plays a part in my mind. If we're going to lease the ground, it needs to be used.
Mr. Candina.
If I'm not mistaken, we're not at that stage yet, though, where we're deciding whether to lease or not, correct? You're right. So that'll come into play down the line if there's a protest or whatever, but it's not. I think there is a protest. I think Ms. Arsenault has actually filed it. So, you know, if we have the thing come back before us, then that'll be a relevant inquiry. And if it's denied, then Ms. Arsenault can proceed with the full application for the 120 acres.
Thank you.
Mr. Tacker.
I hear what my fellow commissioner has stated, as well as the Attorney General's ambassador. However, excuse me. No. But you know, when you read 28.2605, you kind of would come to the same conclusion. However, you know, it's when it says considered in the same order in which they are received, and then we hear testimony that Mr. Rogers initialed and dated, and to me, that would be a reception or a receiving of the application initial and date. And in fact, if that has historically been the case, the process has been one of the same. So defining receiving an order seems to have been done by the staff of VMRC in the past in the same fashion. And so to change that, I would not make any sense to people who are applying for this ground. Now, that's just my perspective. The dating and initialing has to mean something, or it would never have occurred.
I guess my question to that, Ed, would be that the applicant had not signed the application. So it really hadn't been applied for yet until that signature and check had been sent in. And I don't know that that field office dating has ever been used as an order of preference.
It had not.
Oh, it had not.
Mr. Zedrin.
I would echo what Dr. Neal says here. Just receiving an application the fact that the VMRC person put his name and date on anything, that'll make it an application. I mean, you got to have it. I mean, the problem we had, we tried to do the right thing, and so we're trying to look for a way to help out the lady to apply for us. But the fact of the matter is, it wasn't no application. Nobody signed it. No fee was paid. It was just an application was extended. And so there had not been no application received. The fact that he gave out an application and signed it doesn't make it a received application with the fees. And so I'll echo what Dr. Neal says here.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Tankard.
Well, I hear what you're saying, I would say that, you know, historically, apparently, that has been the case, as I understand it. I might be wrong. But then the other problem I think we also have is that staff has given information that would push the other applicant to go faster than he would normally have, and that same information wasn't given to Ms. Arsenault, that there was a competitor involved. Mr. Cadena is the only one who knows there's a competitor for the same piece. It's a lot going on here.
Did I mention this is all very unfortunate?
Yes, I think you mentioned that at the beginning.
Other discussion? Mrs. Badger. Would you explain the staff recommendation and the rationale and the mental thinking that went into it?
Well, our recommendation was that Mr. Cadena's application was completed and submitted first in the Newport News office. So we're recommending the 40 acres be approved for his application, and the remaining 80 acres would be for Ann Arsenal's application. So it would be reduced from 120 down to 80 acres. If I can say just one other thing, we did not tell the Cadenas or Ann Arsenal, we never gave either one of them the opportunity to apply at our field office. So they were both being sent into this office. So from that perspective, we didn't tell one of them, submit your application here, and the other one, submit your application there. We were consistent with that portion of it anyway.
Hold on one second, Hank. So the staff recommendation is to grant both of these leases, Ms. Arsenault's, in a lesser degree. All right, I'm clear. Mr. Hull.
So it's not to grant the lease, but it's to proceed with the process.
Right.
Okay.
We may end up getting protested, I would hope, by neither one of these two.
Right.
But there may be some others out there once we stake it up. Because it is a crab potting area.
Yeah, thank you for the clarification.
Mm-hmm.
What's the will of the commission?
I guess I'm still a little bit confused between staff recommendation and our attorney's representation of it. They're basically saying they're asking for the approval of these leases. And mm-hmm. what we're really being asked for is the approval of the order of the process.
We are, and at this point we would go out and survey these individually. And we would, if you go with staff's recommendation, we would survey the 40 acres for Cadena, and we would survey the 80 acres for Arsenal. And then it's in a 30-day protest period, so someone else could come out and protest it, and it could potentially be back in front of you as individual mm-hmm. applications. But not this issue wouldn't be back in front of you, so who's first and who's second.
Mr. Hull?
Yeah, I've got a little bit of a question, I guess. So when you're surveying Ms. Arsenault's proposal, is there anything, can you survey Ms. Arsenault's full 120 acres? Because, you know, if Mr. Cadena's, sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name, but if you don't grant the 40-acre application, then the entire thing is she's asking for it, correct?
That's correct. And we would survey if Cadena was denied
uh-huh.
and Arsenal was accepted, we would go forward with 120 acres
okay.
application, survey it, 30-day protest period. No protest, you wouldn't see it again.
Mr. France.
This may not be relevant or anything, but were they both mailed the same way, just regular mail, or was it priority mail or next day service or anything?
That I don't know. I don't have that information here.
The only reason I would ask that is because by two people knowing on different days, would somebody have an advantage over the other person?
Oh, yeah. In my opinion, Cadena had an advantage because he knew that Arsenal or her husband had been in there. There's no question about that.
Thank you.
Well, it'd be fruitless to throw it all out and say everybody who races to the box office first is first come. So, you know, we're at where we're at. And my question in my mind is what's fair? What's the will of the commission? Mr. Zegar.
I move that we approve staff recommendation with the 40 for Cadena and the 80 for Arsenault.
It's a motion by Mr. Zegar. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. France. Discussion on the motion. Mr. Tankard.
I'm just going to say one more time for the record that, Cadena had an unfair advantage over Arsenault, and that the process that Ms. Arsenault had known historically, that we had represented as a commission, would have never given her any thought to that something had changed to her, not to her advantage. So I'm going to vote against.
Other discussion, Mr. Zeter?
No, if he was really trying to take advantage of her, he could have driven over to the office and filed the application, but he didn't. He went in and just put it in the mail like everybody else.
Other discussion? Well, not to sound like a broken record here, it's unfortunate. There's not an easy way forward here. It's tough to determine what's fair. I'm going to call the question. Motion by Mr. Zedron and second by Mr. Francis to accept the staff recommendation here. Mr. Cadena gets 40 acres. Mrs. Arsenault gets 80 acres. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Noes?
No.
The chair votes no as well. So how many noes is that?
Three.
Three noes.
I'm abstaining.
Mr. Minor abstains. So we have three ayes and three noes, and the motion does not pass.
Sir?
Mr. Cadena, no, I'm sorry. Mr. Cadena, the public hearing is closed. The matter's before the commission. We're working this out. You've had your say. So we're back to square one. Commission operates on motions. Mr. Tankard, you had an objection to this.
Yes.
You got another path forward.
No, I move that we approve Ms. Arsenault's application for the entire 120-acre piece, given the testimony that we've heard today.
That's a motion by Mr. Tankard.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Kell. Discussion on that.
My opinion. I just wish there was a way that we can just take the 40 acres and get and do 20-20. That's a compromise to me.
My discussion is I think that motion violates state regulation.
Well, that's an observation, Mr. Francis. Yeah. Your hands up.
And I have an observation also. You know, Mr. Cadena could have applied for the whole 120 acres.
Any other discussion?
I'd like to make a substitute motion.
Mr. Minor, that's entirely appropriate.
With the 40 acres, I'd like to make a substitute motion that they split the acres 20-20.
It's a motion by Mr. Minor here to split Mr. Cadena's application from 40 to 20 acres.
I question counsel whether that's in state code item.
I think if the commission finds that Mr. Cadena's application was submitted first, then there's really nothing more for the commission to do other than say we'll consider it and, you know, advertise them both. And once it comes time to determine whether to award them or not, make a determination then whether Mr. Cadena's application is in the public interest. And if it finds that it's not, then to consider Ms. Arsenault's full 120-acre application. But if it finds that it is, then it can only consider Ms. Arsenault's application for the remaining 80 acres. I think that's the result dictated by code, and it may not be the one that is you know, accords with the sense of fairness, but it is the one that is dictated by law, in my opinion.
Mr. Badger.
They've both been advertised.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
They have not been surveyed.
So, yeah, so it would be for the surveying and the protest period, and then the hearing on the application.
So to recap here, we have a substitute motion by Mr. Meinecker that would give Mr. Padena 20 of the 40 acres, give Ms. Arsenault the other 20 with the 40-acre application. Is there a second on that substitute motion? Is there a second on the substitute motion? Last call. Sorry, Mr. Miner, there's no second. Your substitute motion fails for a lack of a second. Mr. Zedrin.
I'm going to move again to approve staff recommendation of the 40 and 80 acres. And now we have the guidance of council saying that where we're at in this process, the code dictates what we should do. And you know, sometimes when you're a judge sitting up there on the bench and you really want to decide for somebody because of your sympathy, and actually we have a jury instruction in Virginia that says that your decision cannot be based on the sympathy. And that's kind of what we're doing here, is that we're sympathetic to Mrs. Arsenault here, but that's not what the law is. And I think counsel has told us what the law is. And I think we can read that, you know, it's when the application is actually signed and the check and everything is received. There's no dispute of the facts. So for that reason, I'm going to put my motion back on the table.
So motion by Mr. Zedrin here, again, to accept staff recommendation.
Second.
Second by Mr. France. Further discussion. I'll just note that from my perspective, Mr. Zedrin, you make a pretty compelling case there. I mean, if the argument is what constitutes first, the law is pretty clear.
I'll mention that. You know, I agree with Mr. Zedrin. The law is clear in many regards. It's what I've questioned is considered in the, when it says in that statute, that is considered in the same order in which they are received. You know, I maintain the app, the signing and the dating has led Mrs. Arsenault, I believe that is a reception, and she is in queue. So I believe that she is within state code. I guess that's my version of state code.
Mr. France,
can we ask counsel, what does he perceive as a receipt?
Yeah, Mr. Hall.
I think the meaning of it is you receive a completed application, and if you look at the application, there's a page 4, I guess, in the packet here, 4-0. It says application must include non-refundable $25 fee. Going on further, there's a space for the signature of the applicant, which was not done until the day after the VMRC employee initialed and dated it. And on the next page, they have this use plan that, again, was the applicant's name is listed as Annie Arsenault, and John Gallivan's name's crossed out, and she signs it. And the testimony was that Mr. Gallivan is the one who picked it up at the commission office, and he was the one who was present when the commission employee initialed and dated it, and he's not the applicant. So, again, may not be the platonic ideal of a fair result here, but it seems like the application was not completed until it was signed and submitted and actually received at the commission office.
And payment,
correct.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. So if I can translate that for the rest of us who aren't lawyers, sometimes the law isn't fair. Mm-hmm. We have a proper motion by Mr. Zedrin here to accept staff recommendation, approve staff recommendation, second by Mr. France. Is there further discussion? call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Noes?
No.
The chair votes aye as well. So the motion passes 5-2 with no votes by Mr. Tankard and Mrs. Killam. Staff recommendation is approved. Ask the commission whether or not you want to take a break for lunch, or you want to go into the last Habitat case on the agenda. There's two more. In which case, then, let's break for lunch, and we'll return at 1:15.